From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines for you this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. Brain science and spiritual phenomena next hour with Dr. James Hart. Get ready for that one. I'm going to give you the schedule in the not-too-distant future. I'm going to be in Portland on Friday night for our program at our monster affiliate, KEX. So details on that coming up. Well, another sicko strikes, and I mean a real nutcase in Pennsylvania. A local milk truck driver with a childhood grudge and an array of guns took one-room Amish schoolhouse by storm. He sent boys and adults outside. He blocked doorways with wood. And then he opened fire on a dozen girls, killing four in total, before committing suicide. And that number could go higher because there are still at least six victims in critical condition. It's just an unbelievable story. Three girls were pronounced dead soon after the incident. A fourth girl died later at a Pennsylvania hospital. And as mentioned, six victims in critical condition. It was the nation's third deadly school shooting in less than a week. I don't know what's going on. And it sent shockwaves through Lancaster County's Amish country. It's a very picturesque landscape of horse-drawn buggies, green pastures, and neat as a pin farms where violent crime is virtually non-existent. I would go up to that area every year back about 10, 15 years ago. For a span of 4 or 5 years, they had tremendous horse auctions there, and I'm a lover of horses, and I would go up there, and the people there are just fantastic. What a tragedy. Most of the victims have been shot execution style at point-blank range after being lined up along the chalkboard, their feet bound with wire and plastic ties. Two young students were killed, along with a female teacher's aide who was slightly older than the students, and then another student died later. The gunman, identified as a 32-year-old, his name's Charles Carl Roberts IV from the nearby town of Bart. He was apparently bent on killing young girls as a way of acting out in revenge for something that happened 20 years ago when he was a boy. Who knows what that was? Roberts had left several rambling notes to his wife and three children. Yes, he was married, had kids. Along the lines of suicide notes, the gunman also called his wife during the siege by cell phone to tell her he was going to get even for some long-ago offense. Sad story in Pennsylvania. In Illinois, state regulators have suspended the license of a dentist whose 5-year-old patient fell into a coma in his office and later died. Dr. Hikam Rabba's practices posed an imminent danger to the public, according to the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. It said that Rabba failed to properly monitor the little girl's blood pressure, pulse, and respiration during her treatment September 23rd at his storefront clinic. The complaint said that he recorded that the girl was alert and responsive on discharge, although her mother claims to have found her comatose in a dental chair. She died at a Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago. She had been on life support for 4 days after her visit to Little Angel Dental Clinic to have some teeth filled and others capped. Rabba faces 40 years. He's 40 years old, faces up to $10,000 in fines for each of the four violations, which include making false or fraudulent representations, professional incompetence, and gross malpractice. Well, members of the September 11 Commission say they were alarmed that they were not told anything about a White House meeting in July of 2001 at which George J. Tenet, then the director of the CIA, is reported to have warned Condoleezza Rice, then the National Security Advisor, about an imminent al-Qaeda attack and failed to persuade her to take action. Details of the previously undisclosed meeting on July 10th of 2001, 2 months before the 9/11 terror attacks, were first reported last week in a new book by the journalist Bob Woodward, who's now making the scenes. He's been on most of the major media over the last few days. The final report from the 9/11 Commission made no mention of the meeting, nor did it suggest that there had been such an encounter between Mr. Tenet and Ms. Rice, now the Secretary of State, who, by the way, says she doesn't recall being told this. Since the release of the book, State of Denial, the White House and Ms. Rice have disputed major elements of Mr. Woodward's account. Mr. Woodward, by the way, along with Carl Bernstein, a long time ago, took down the presidency of Richard Nixon. You remember Watergate, don't you? Although the passages of his book suggest that Mr. Tenet was a major source for Mr. Woodward, the former intelligence director has refused to comment on the book. I've long said that I believe that some people in government knew what was going to happen, and whether it was negligence or they just simply decided to turn the cheek the other way. But the more I see this kind of evidence, the more I see these kinds of stories, the more convinced I am that I'm pretty right about my assumptions. Online gambling firms face their biggest ever crisis after Congress passed legislation to end internet gaming, threatening jobs and wiping $6.5 billion off of company values. Britain's Party Gaming PLC, the operator of the leading internet poker site called PartyPoker.com, and rivals Sport Betting and 888 PLC said they would likely pull out of the United States, their biggest source of revenue. In Wisconsin, police arrested a woman for neglecting hamsters at her home after her roommate ratted her out. Police Sergeant Rick Larson says that they found 33 live and 6 dead hamsters in her house. So they arrested the 23-year-old on 39 counts each of the 2 charges. Over the weekend, that's one small word for astronaut Neil Armstrong, one giant revision for grammar sticklers everywhere. An Australian computer programmer says he found the missing A from Armstrong's famous first words from the moon in 1969, when the world heard this phrase.
Contact light. Okay, engine stop. Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I got to tell you, I listened to that clip over and over again, and I did not hear Neil Armstrong say A, one small step for a man. I didn't hear it. Yet some historians and critics have dogged Armstrong for not saying the more dramatic and, they say, grammatically correct, one small step for a man in the version that he transmitted to NASA's Mission Control. Without the missing A, Armstrong essentially said one small step for mankind, one giant leap for mankind. The famous astronaut has maintained that he intended to say it properly and believes he did. And thanks to some high-tech sound editing software, computer programmer Peter Shane Ford says that he may have proved Armstrong right. He said he downloaded the audio recording of Armstrong's words from a NASA website, analyzed the statement with software that allows disabled people to communicate through computers using their nerve impulses. Well, he says that he thinks the A was spoken. I tell you, I didn't hear it. And the Hubble Space Telescope, I think it is dying. The main camera on the Hubble Space Telescope shut down unexpectedly for the second time this year. The orbiting Hubble Telescope, launched in 1990 by the Space Shuttle, has revolutionized the study of astronomy with some of the most striking images ever seen in space. Our science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, on top of this story all day and all weekend. This could be sad, Richard, because they're not replacing the parts that they need to replace.
Well, they can't replace them, George, because they need the shuttle. And as you know, since the Columbia disaster, there has been a kind of an edict against using the shuttle any place but the space station, which is going to be a safe harbor. The last Atlantis flight, the last shuttle a few days ago, basically proved that the shuttle is now, again, operational in the constrained sense of that word. And so what this means is that Mike Griffin, who's the NASA administrator, is going to have to make a very tough decision. They're planning to launch the next shuttle in December. December 7th is now being discussed. They're planning to ease restrictions. It will be a night launch because they need light launches if they're going to complete the space station by 2010, when the shuttle system is supposed to be retired. And what Griffin has to decide now is, do we have enough information under our belt to okay the shuttle repair mission to Hubble for, it was supposed to be 2008, it could be moved back to as early maybe as the middle of 2007, because the Hubble itself is okay tonight. What the problem seems to be is a power supply to the Advanced Camera for Surveys, which is the main scientific instrument that was put in March of 2002. In June of this year, June 19th, the primary power supply, which is kind of like the power supply in your home computer, went out, and they switched to a backup, and 2 weeks later got the camera back online. And we don't know tonight what this new problem is, but it is not affecting the overall telescope, which carries a number of other instruments, and its battery life appears to be pretty good. It's depleting battery life expectancy at a lower rate than estimated even a year ago. So if the if this added reason gives Griffin a reason to give the go-ahead for the earlier Hubble repair mission, this could still be pulled out. But it's going to be like the perils of Pauline, George. It's going to be a nail-biter.
Yeah, I think so. The shuttle does need fresh batteries, gyroscopes, and everything else. But gosh, I hope the Hubble. Yeah, well, maybe the shuttle does too. You never know. But let's hope they get the Hubble going again. I mean, well, this thing is too important.
There's a strong feeling on Griffin's part and a lot of people in the agency that NASA is and used to be and should be again the can-do agency. And there's a whole team working around the clock at Goddard, the Goddard Space Flight Center, where I used to be a consultant, and they're planning a very extensive repair mission. It was slated, as I said, for early 2008. There was some rumors a couple weeks ago during the Atlantis mission that because of the success of that mission, it was being moved, you know, forward to an earlier date, and now, of course, this new problem only increases the urgency for that to happen.
Richard, I'm going to see you this Sunday and Monday. I'm coming down to Southern California from L.A. Spend my weekend with you, basically, at Joshua Tree.
You're going to have so much fun, and we are not going to put you under a cactus. Tommy is telling you tales out of school.
We're actually
going to put you in the temporary governor's mansion.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope. It turns out that Arnold Schwarzenegger, the esteemed governor of California, in which state you are currently residing right now tonight, is quietly coming to Joshua Tree 2 days before our conference starts. In fact, I'm probably going to meet him on Friday when we arrive. They have built a special helipad, George, just for the governor. And he has commandeered one of the most interesting bungalows. I think it's called the teacher's bungalow or something. Anyway, we thought that we would put you in that bungalow when Arnie leaves so that you can say you slept in the governor's mansion.
Well, just so we're not sharing the bungalow together. That's all that matters. All right, Richard, I'll see you soon. I'm still in St. Louis, by the way. I'm here for a week before I come to L.A. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Richard. And I'm going to give out that phone number for Joshua Tree in just a moment, by the way. West of the Rockies now, because we do have open lines, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wild card line is open and ready to go at 818-501-4109. We've got open lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome to Open Lines, and let's go right to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Hey, this is Robert. I'm listening on 1200 WAI in San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Well, George, I tell you, I love it, and I love you, and I think you are the only person that could have taken over for Art. I remember when you used to only be on one night a week, maybe two nights a week. Anyway, I've got a story you guys told me I had to get to right away. It's kind of an interesting story about when I was a kid, I grew up in central Illinois on a farm. When I was a young kid, I had ADD or something, but I always had something I had to do. And make a long story short, one day it was raining out in the spring, and I was in the corn crib, and the corn crib back then had a central alleyway. I don't know if you're familiar, being from Detroit and all. and there's corn bins on either side, and it was raining outside, and the rain was sliding down in the middle of this concrete pad. And up on top was a light socket that hung down. You know, those old light sockets kind of hang down, bulbs in them, and you...
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Okay, so I get one of these things you screw in to plug up an extension cord in that thing, and I stick it in there, and I get this drill, and I got some boards and hammers, and I don't know what I was even making. And I start working on this thing, and I get the drill out. I start drilling this hole, and water's coming down through the concrete. And all of a sudden, I start getting electrocuted.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there just shocking, just, you know. And lo and behold, during this thing, I fall down. I fall down. I'm not sure what happens. But I come at a certain point where I see a light. And I'm sitting there just shocking. And some kind of a person or an entity or God or an angel or whatever says to me in a real calming voice, "Don't worry, it's not your time yet. I have something I want you to do." And then, boom, I'm laying on the ground and everything's over.
And you're okay. Now, the part about "I have something I want you to do," has that happened yet? Have you accomplished whatever it wanted you to do?
That's the scary part, George. Because sometimes, the older I'm getting now, and I'm just a few years younger than you, the older
I'm
getting, the more it seems like I'm being told to do something, but I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. And I keep asking myself, you know, and thinking, what is it I'm supposed to do? And I'm in the elk business. I've raised elk, and that whole industry is being just tore apart by the federal government and state governments trying to stop people from doing it because of that issue with the velvet antler. They don't want people having velvet antler. That's a whole other story. That'd be a good show for you. But anyway, I'm wondering if I'm barking up the wrong tree on that or whether I'm not doing enough. And this force or whatever it is trying to tell me, you got to spend more time on it. You got to use your energies. You got to use your brains to figure out what it is that, you know, you're not doing right.
It'll come to you at the right time, I think. Whereabouts, by the way, in southern Illinois, did you have that farm?
No, it was in northern Illinois.
Northern. Oh,
up by Rockford, Illinois.
Okay. Yeah. Know it well. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it, Robert. Let's move to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Mr. Norrie, a pleasure to speak with you once again.
Thank you, sir.
Hi. This is Steve calling from Sacramento, California, KSTE, 650 AM. And I was calling about the terrorists, which you spoke to your guest with last week, and how they were financing their war, as it were. Back in the late 70s, I'm a private investigator, and we had actually busted a car ring. These people with strange names were having car wrecks, and I managed to connect the dots after about six or seven of these different incidents, which happened to come through the same insurance company. And it turned out they were renting cars from various entities and buying other, you know, really decrepit cars.
Right.
And having these accidents, and the money that they got as their settlement was being sent back at that time to finance the PLO.
And they didn't even care about those junky little cars they were driving, right?
Pardon me, sir?
Those junky little cars they were driving, they didn't care about them. Those things were being used then just to generate the cash.
Correct. And then, of course, they'd go ahead and rent other cars to have decent cars in the incident, or accident, pardon me. And they'd use the funds they got out of that, whatever their money they got, they would send that back to finance the PLO. My partner and I were warned. They put out contracts on both of us.
Right. Well, how do you know the money was being used for that purpose?
It was found out after we had given the, you know, after the insurance companies had paid out the money, they managed to track by loop and loop the money that was being, the checks that were being cashed.
I see.
Real quick, I hear the music in the background, but over the weekend when Art was on the radio, some astute young lady noticed that when Steve Irwin thought he was going to be killed by a car, in a car wreck, he was killed by a stingray.
A stingray, exactly. The old Chevrolet Stingray. Interesting, wasn't it? Well, lots to talk with you about. First of all, let's talk about the book tour. This Friday, the program originates live from our affiliate in Portland, Oregon, KEX. So we'll do the Friday night show, which, by the way, will be Full Moon Friday open lines. We're going to do it out of KEX in Portland. Then Saturday, the book signing for the book Worker in the Light, which is available at all major bookstores and Amazon.com. Amazon.com, by the way, if you can believe this, ran out of the books, so they've reordered them. You will get it if you order, but they ran out of them this weekend. But in Oregon, we are going to have our book signing at Powell's Bookstore, which is on West Burnside, Portland, Oregon, at 1 p.m. And as we did in Detroit and St. Louis, come on out and meet me, and I'd love for you to get a book, but even if you don't, come on out and say hi. That's the most important thing. And then it's onward. When I get back from Portland, it's off to Joshua Tree for Richard C. Hoagland's special conference. So come on out there and see me. If you're interested in the Joshua Tree conference, you can go to the enterprisemission.com website or call this toll-free number, 800-900-7030. That's 800-900-7030. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Casey from Tennessee.
Hey, Casey. Hey. Welcome to the show.
It's good to talk to you again. I just wanted to call and just let you know what all had happened to me since I got to meet you up there in St. Louis.
Oh, that's right. You were at the book signing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was great to get to meet you. You did a fine job, and it was wonderful to get to meet you. But it's got kind of a strange story, you know. As I was leaving there, you know, I went and watched the Cardinals game, and, you know, they ended up clinching, so that was good. But I was getting ready to go back home, and I really needed to, you know, to be truthful. But I decided, just out of the blue, I was driving like I was going to get on the interstate and go back home, and something just came over me and just said, you need to go to California. And it was just like something, I don't even know. It wasn't like a voice or anything. It was just like this feeling. It was just like this feeling, you know. It told me just to go on a separate path. And so I started going towards California. And then on the way there, I was listening to your show again. And because it took quite a while to go out there, but I like to drive and stuff. So I thought, why not? And then, you know, on the way there, it said, something just told me when you get there, you know, some major problem is going to go away. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's why I'm going there then. You know, I don't mean to sound crazy, but I mean, I was like, I just knew that I had to go somewhere. So on the way there, and I thought, well, what could it probably be? And I thought, you know, I bet it's, you know, I've got to go out there for some reason. So then when I got here today, you know, they were saying that, like, rain had come in and, like, the fires went out. And I was like, all right, that must be what it was. But I don't know if I had anything to do with that or not. But I do think that I was just meant to come to California. And, so anyway, I'm out here now, and I'm going to try to make it out to your conference, Richard C. Hoagland's conference.
Excellent.
This weekend. But I just wanted to throw in one more quick little thing here. You know how I like to throw in one little quick question or message at the end, you know? But I think that the devil, as we know it, is caused by the darkness in man's heart, and that if we can, you know, like in your book, if we could all be workers in the light, you know, and try to shine light in our heart and get that darkness out, that, you know, it'll heal the earth and it'll turn around and make something good. And I think, you know, that that our Creator will make that happen for us if we can just get rid of the darkness in our heart. And that's where the bad stuff comes from. And I love your book, and Worker in the Light's wonderful. I've been reading it. It's fantastic.
All right, and you take care of yourself. We'll look forward to seeing you out there in California, Joshua Tree. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the show. Hi there. Hello. Yeah, hi.
Hey, my name's Jason. I've been listening to you for a couple of years now. And I'm a chronic pain patient. I wanted to say thanks because you help with a lot of the sleepless nights.
You're welcome, Jason.
I'm so worried about the future that I got myself and my family out of California. We moved up to the high elevation of Arizona just to kind of be away from the big cities and out in the country and waiting to see what's going to happen. But I've been listening lately where people said that the chemtrails have been slowing down, and I wanted to just call and let you know that this last weekend they were spraying heavy duty. I saw it one time over 20 jets spraying something out, and every time they come around heavy like that, a lot of the we've got a pretty big family. We get sick. And I just was curious if you had any idea. I know you guys said it was either something to do with the weather or something they're doing to us. Have you heard anything more about it?
Let me tell you, I yesterday sent, and I don't know if Lex got it or not, but I sent him a picture phone text of a formation up there, a chemical formation. And I got to tell you, it was the biggest tic-tac-toe look I have ever seen up there. And I got to check in with Lex and make sure he got it, because if he can post it, I'd like you to take a look at it. It sounds like they're picking up again. They had gone away for a while. And
seems like up where I'm at, when it's a clear blue sky, they come out and really spray a lot.
Yeah.
But anyways, I wanted to say thanks again for all you do, and I love your program.
Okay, West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Good morning.
Hey, George.
Hi.
This is Jason from Tacoma.
Jason, what's going on?
Nothing much. This is my third time calling. It's always an honor to speak to you.
How do you get in?
I'm surprised. I mean, I don't really try very hard, but people on your air say it's impossible. But I just, every time I try, I get on, I guess.
The luck of the draw.
I guess I must be lucky. But I have a couple things. In fact, the last caller brought something up. I live near Fort Lewis, and they fly the C-130 cargo planes every day. And, I mean, they fly right over the house. I mean, directly over the house, a few hundred feet. And there are days where I'll see the planes fly left to right on the horizon, and they'll get closer and closer and closer. And right before they get over to my house, I'm like, well, time to go inside. You know, I don't want to get sprayed with that. And I hope it's nothing dangerous. But there, I've seen some times where it's not perfectly tic-tac-toe, but it's pretty close. But the main reason I wanted to call was about the torture bill.
Yes.
I'd just like to say that's the last, when Bush finds out, that's going to be the day democracy and the republic dies. I mean,
you know, the biggest problem with torture, with this bill especially, is what will happen to just Americans, and what happens when those kinds of laws get in the hands of people who are unscrupulous. We all want to get terrorists. We all want to get them. We all want to be able to get and extract information from them. And I got to tell you, I'd rather not know what our people are doing to extract information from someone like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, okay? He is purportedly the mastermind of 9/11. Who knows where he is? Who knows what we've done to him? But I also believe that maybe there are times you got to do what you have to do in order to protect this country. But when you start making laws about surveillance and about the ability to do things like torture that could then affect Americans, we got a problem with that. And so I'm opposed to that, and I don't think it's necessary to do what we need to do. I think our guys, our CIA, or whoever's doing whatever they're doing, should continue to do what we don't even know about. But the moment you start making it into law, that tells me they're looking for something else. And to me, it sounds like they're after us in the long term. And I don't like it. This is that police state, and I'm opposed to it. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. Tim from L.A. How are
you? Hey, Tim. Good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. Well, the reason why I'm calling is because I've been doing ghost hunting with a paranormal researcher by the name of Larry Munch, who was also a guest of art back in 97. And the things I've seen at this building that was built back in 1882 in Little Tokyo, Los Angeles, is eerie and it's fascinating.
What have you seen?
Well, actually, I haven't seen anything yet, but I felt like presence, like, I guess, like different people. And it's really fascinating because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I learned. And it's, well, I guess you could say it's kind of spooky, too, because, you know, you're I conversed actually. Well, not. I conversed in a sense with the ghosts.
They talked back to you?
Well, not physically talked back to me, but I guess you could say psychically. And we also use like divining rods to communicate. It's a tool that we use to communicate with the ghosts, to use like yes, no type answers.
What are some of the questions you asked them, Tim? Give me a good
like,
one.
Okay, like, how did you pass, you know, did you pass away from like a heart attack or did you pass away from, you know, like different ailments or whatnot? And I think one ailment was someone died of a heart attack. And that's, and different, you know, different things.
Yeah, give me a better one than that, though we all care about how they passed on. Did you ask them what it's like on the other side?
No, not yet. Actually, yes, I did. I did. The owner of the building, I asked the great-grandmother of the owner of the building, and then she says that she's happy where she is, and she loves her great-grandson. Because that's the owner, you know, the owners of the building. And she's more or less taking care of him, watching over him.
Well, that's nice of her. Okay, thanks, Tim. I appreciate that. But, you know, if you want, give Tom the phone number to that ghost investigator. If Art had him on 9 years ago, maybe it's time to do a little update with him. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi, George. Jack in Michigan.
Hey, Jack.
The land of Tucker, John DeLorean. And, of course, Henry Ford, who 65 years ago, George, was growing hemp right here in Michigan, using it to build hemp plastic SUV-sized cars that are indestructible, or virtually so, and using the hemp oil as a petrol diesel substitute, which doesn't cause the engine to wear out at all. And
it's clean, and it's clean, isn't it?
Very clean. And so I say Back to the Future, and I got to commend you. Before I get to my main point with the shooter in Pennsylvania, David Sirita, I want to applaud you for bringing him back on. I only wish that when he does come on, or whenever you get around to having an energy conference, that the subject of helium-3 be revisited, because I suspect that the technology process necessary to bring helium-3 to the market is actually pretty simplistic, and David Sirita could easily lead the technologic development of that. But going to the thing in Pennsylvania, there have been previous guests on Coast to Coast, including Whitley Strieber's program, Dreamland, in the past, where he interviewed Mark Phillips, Kathy O'Brien of Transformation America fame, and Cheryl Hersha, both of which women. And Cheryl's sister were in the CIA's sex slave mind control program. And they, in each case, revealed the fact that even right here at Camp Grayling, where they were put through the sex slave program, that the Manchurian Assassins program was alive and well. And the last time Cheryl Hersha was interviewed by Whitley some years ago, she said, well, they knew that it was still continuing throughout North America. So
now, how do you tie this into this wacko in Pennsylvania?
Okay, now, whenever a shooter commits suicide, typically, that's the sign of a Manchurian candidate. And also, the timing, George, as you said, there's no coincidences. Okay, the genocide police action in Iraq, which by now most people of significant insight would say is CIA-directed, not to mention the torture program, and there's no congressional authorization for any of that in any foreign land, let alone here. Okay, then you look at the illegal alien debacle. They haven't sealed off the borders. They've been forced into even considering that, and they still haven't funded the construction of that fence. If they want to be serious about it, just enforce all the laws regarding employment of illegal aliens, prosecute the employers, Round up the illegals, and put them to work constructing not a 700-mile fence, but the entire border that's land-based. Okay, so what is more sacred, George, to all of us than our mothers, our wives, and our children, especially our daughters? So what could be energizing and provoking than to go and, as you said, execution style, murder these little school children, I guess all of which were girls.
Yes, all
especially
girls.
Especially in Amish land.
You know what? He picked the school because it was easy for him to get into. And, absolutely one of the most disgusting crimes that I've seen in 2 days. I mean, these things just continue. I mean, what kind of a society are we breeding? What's happening to people? You know, I know these things have occurred in the past, but believe me, I've covered them. I covered a story in Detroit when I was 22 years old, and they pulled out 6 or 7 bodies out of a house in some drug den. Man, but you just see things that happen today in Pennsylvania in a small schoolhouse, lining little girls up against a chalkboard and executing them. Because he had a 20-year problem about something? There's something wrong here. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name's Lori, and I'm calling from Chicago. Hi. But I'm originally from St. Louis.
I'm going to be in Chicago on October 30th.
Oh, excellent. Very
doing
Halloween.
Some scary things, so make sure you're out there.
Very cool. I will be. Well, I've got a theory, or my friend actually has a theory about why people are acting so crazy. He's convinced that it's canola oil. Canola oil, because it's made from rapeseed, which is also used to make, you know, mustard gas. So it can be made into essentially a neurotoxin, and it's in everything that you eat. I mean, if you start reading labels, and his theory is that it causes everything from cancer to mental illness, and he cut it completely out of his diet, says he lost tons of weight, not even changing any of his caloric intake, just the canola oil. That he had like a cyst on his hand that went away. His girlfriend, who was diabetic, her blood sugar, I mean, she'd still have to take her injections, but it basically normalized. And it's just insane, he says, that this is why people are acting crazy.
Canola oil.
Yes. So, and apparently if you look it up on the internet, there is just, I mean, I did a little bit of research on it, and the things out there that people say about it are really, really scary.
I got to check into this.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a health nut. I never thought of that. I never even heard of that.
Yeah, I had not either. But he had made a very compelling case. And
see, I don't use a lot of canola. I use olive oil on things, but mm-hmm. I guess you're saying that it's in a lot of other things.
Right. Restaurants love it because it can be repeatedly reheated and cooled down without breaking up, like breaking down the whatever the consistency of it. So it's in all the restaurant food. It's in basically all salad dressings, even if you're a health nut. Yeah, I've read it in a trail mix somehow. So it is in everything. If you really start reading labels, it or some of its derivatives are in so much stuff.
Okay, I'll start the hunt for it. Appreciate it. Canola oil. All right, go. Let's do some research on that one and see if that is one of the causes of all these problems. Who knows anymore? Other than, I'm glad I've got our guest coming up to talk about something else because it's brain science. So get ready. I'm George Norrie, and in a moment, Coast to Coast AM continues.